Yankees and Astros.
Astros Yankees game 4 tonight at 7 on ESPN 97.5.
Youthfulness, vigor, self-confidence, virility.
Guys, these can be yours again with hair restoration. Visit 97.5hair.com and get your hair back. It's easy with minimal discomfort, no linear scar, and you're back to your routine the next day. The best part, it looks natural because it's your hair and not a hair plug. Dr. Linville extracts individual follicles from the back of your head and transplants them to where you're thinning. He can even redraw your hairline. I did it, and trust me, my lady is very excited. 97.5hair.com now offering discounted consults for ESPN listeners.
Do you like stories about poker, gambling, the racetrack, the mafia? Then check out the dynamic new novel, Jesus Just Left Chicago, from Gal Media's Fred Fowler. When a mysterious biker shows up and knows the winner of every race, a group of lifetime losers become convinced he's something supernatural. But success leads to jealousy, betrayal, and danger at every turn. Pick up your copy in paperback, Kindle, Apple Book, Nook, or audio today at JesusTheNovel.com.
The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Sports, 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 sports.
So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Yeah, and a lot of other stuff. Going to be guest heavy today. As we set up the Astros going up 3-1. Let's do it. It's a Thursday on the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
Live from the Gal Studios in Houston, Texas. This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on for a Thursday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, Chocolate Braveheart, Aaron Rabel, Voldemort. If you want to get in, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Or get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Send a message. If Aaron likes it, he'll say something. If he sees something, he'll say something. Here's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show. You know the number for that. And if you so desire, you may get on the Twitch channel and watch us and listen there and put your comments in the chat. All you have to do is
watch and learn, boys. Yeah. Watch and learn.
There's plenty to learn today. And watch, I think.
How's this mic sound, Aaron?
It's okay.
Not great, huh?
Oh, that's the junior mic.
Yeah, I'll try and make an adjustment here during the break, but I mean, people around here just can't figure out this whole mic stand thing.
It's really, really simple.
I don't get it.
It sounds like you connected from a different station.
Okay. Yeah, I'll try and fix it during the break.
Man, we got to get us some of that ESPN New York equipment. Those guys sounded good this morning. I don't know how much you got to listen, but I got to hear a little of Palillo, and it's like, wow, that sounds good. So
it's always something.
Yeah, well.
And Barry, who, you know, there's been no morning show was in here. So, I mean, Fred and I left the studio on Tuesday. There was, we carried the baseball game. Or no, we carried ESPN Network, right? On Tuesday? No,
Tuesday was a game. Yeah. So there weren't any local night shows.
No local shows. And then John, who sits in this chair, wasn't here on Wednesday morning. He was in New York.
Actually, he was here Wednesday morning. He flew out then, right after the show. Because we came in and did the hour right after them. That was Wednesday.
What's today?
No, that was Tuesday.
That was Tuesday. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Now I'm totally
confused.
That
was Tuesday. But Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday was yesterday.
They were up there. John was up there. Then Charlie, who also sits in this spot, he was in New York. So then it was Barry. So that means no one, after I left, no one sat in this chair until Barry got here. And Barry's like, somebody broke the mic stand after his show. And I'm like,
didn't you guys have this exact same conversation yesterday?
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm talking about the conversation from yesterday. Yeah.
But now it's even more broken.
Yeah. Now it's even more. I don't even know what's going on now. But Barry was like, it wasn't me. And I was like, well, who was it? Because when I left here, it was in perfect working order. And then I get back, and it's no longer in perfect working order. there's a disconnect there. And you're the only person who sat in the seat since then. And Barry, of course, deny till you die.
See, I don't know who uses this one besides me.
Lance.
No, they don't move it.
And Joel.
Okay, they don't move it because it's always in the same spot. So, yeah, I just adjust, if I need to adjust something, I adjust my chair or just this little part.
Imagine that. That's very simple.
Yeah.
Or this part that's meant to adjust.
Yeah, exactly. The rest of it, you leave alone.
They need to have it at a certain height.
Yeah, well, those guys aren't midgets either, so it's probably fine. Can I say midgets? They're not little people.
Yeah.
They're not little tiny people.
That was a mistake by you.
So, yeah, I issue a full retraction. But maybe that's part of it. But all you have to do is just move this one little part that's supposed to move, and it's fine. And nothing happens to the microphone. It's amazing. So we have a bunch of guests today.
We do.
Mina Kimes at 4:15.
Yes, Mina, who wrote the cover story for ESPN, the magazine, about DeAndre Hopkins and his mom. So that's we'll have her on to talk about that. She's been all over television and obviously in the magazine. So we'll talk to her about that story and what it was like being around DeAndre and the making of it.
And, June Jones at 5:00, your head coach of the Houston Rough Riders.
Yeah.
I like to call him Hune.
Yeah. In the middle of a draft, right?
Yeah. Yeah. They drafted Connor Cook.
Okay.
Who's played a game in Houston, as you might recall.
I recall.
And Brad Powers, as usual, and hopefully maybe we'll get some...
I haven't heard from RJ and the boys, okay. So I'm not sure exactly what we're working at with them.
And then Rafael Esparza at 6:30. So full bunch of guests today, so we'll work some fun in there, in the middle of it somewhere, because that's what we do. And you got your Astros tonight. Apparently it's cold there in New York. Cold and windy.
Cold and windy.
Is that...
And damp.
Does that help the pitchers or does that hurt them?
I mean, I think it depends. I think it depends on which way the wind's blowing. I've seen it. Apparently, it's been blowing one way all day, and then it blew. It's now it's blowing a totally different way. Who knows?
Yeah. It'll be.
We'll know in a hurry though with the bats on these teams.
Yep. It won't take long. McSkees on the Twitch says, "Let's pull the Twitch footage up and find the culprit." But I don't think we actually record the Twitch footage, do we?
I think it does, but it goes to some like account database somewhere that Brandon has to like ask for permission.
Well, so here's my question to you guys. Do you think that someone came in who wasn't working here, who wasn't doing an air shift, who came in and was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to break this mic stand.
I don't think that happened.
What?
It was intentional. Unless the Baytown Badass snuck in and did it.
Hmm.
But otherwise, no, I don't see any reason someone would do that. What probably happened, and we've all broken stuff in here before, but what happens when we do? Oh, whoops, I broke that. AD, could you fix this for me?
Yep. Yeah,
that's pretty much it. But they probably broke it, and then it fell apart even more. And instead of, you know, saying, hey, we need to get this fixed, and I screwed this up, it's, I didn't do it. Nobody's going to admit to it. So...
Yeah. No personal responsibility.
Yeah, and yeah, I like to blame stuff on the night shows.
Yeah, that'd be ideal.
And the weekend shows.
Can't do it this time.
But there's certainly the forensic evidence points to someone during the day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's against circumstantial. But just saying.
Yeah, and I was going back to what we were talking about with the wind. It helps that the two pitchers tonight are, for the most part, you would say, ground ball pitchers.
Yeah.
Greinke and Tanaka.
Control guys.
Yeah. So, Greinke this season, 45% ground balls. Tanaka, 48% ground balls. So, that's relatively high. So I would think that maybe the wind won't be as much of a factor with these two on the mound. If I would be worried if Justin Verlander were pitching, guy who's got a way higher fly ball percentage. But in this case, it shouldn't be too much of an issue.
Steven, the weather guy, says wind tonight will be blowing straight out to center at 20 to 30 miles per hour. Temperatures in the mid-50s, temps could minimally affect pitch control.
Okay.
But a minimal effect on pitch control against a good lineup, that could translate into a lot.
Yeah. And listen, this is Tanaka's pitched in New York for a while. I mean, he's been there since, what, 2013, 14? He's used to pitching in the elements. This isn't his first rodeo in October.
Well, and even in April there, it can get pretty bad, too.
Greinke came up with the Royals and was there, I mean, most of the early part of his career. He went to Milwaukee indoors, L.A.,
perfect.
Never going to be cold there.
The desert.
Arizona, and then here. So I don't know when Zach Greinke was last in Kansas City, but it's been a while. And when Zach Greinke was in Kansas City, they weren't doing a lot of playing into October.
Right.
So it's been some time since Zach Greinke pitched in the cold, I would imagine. But
he doesn't look like the kind of guy that anything's going to affect him, positive or negative.
I wouldn't imagine so.
You know what? If his pitching career doesn't work out, I think he has a movie career, like as a guy.
I was thinking stand-up comedy.
I think he looks like a guy that could play a dude driving a Panzer tank.
Okay. Are you?
No, I'm not saying. Mm. I'm not saying that anything other than that's he could have that role.
I think he looks like a blonde-haired, blue-eyed white guy. You're saying. Okay.
Yeah. With you know, handsome, striking features. I think he'd look good driving a tank in the movies. That's all. 713-780-3776.
I'm leaving that alone.
Yeah, I think you should. Yeah. I think it's right where it needs to be. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We come back. Mina Kimes will join us. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Just watching A.J. try to fix this mic over here is hilarious. So do we have her yet? No? Okay.
Hey now, how's that sound? Better?
That's worlds better.
Yeah, all right. Good. Oh, did you just move the mic?
Yeah, I switched the actual microphone out.
That's how you fix these things. You're kind of a smart
that's ingenuity right there.
You
buddy.
Went to school for that.
Yeah, something like that.
Oh man, so I did not watch El Camino last night. I wound up watching the first five episodes of Letterkenny, so I've only got two more to go. But they're not getting watched tonight, obviously. And I have to say that show is so freaking hilarious. They've got a really good thing going. They're doing a talk show this time, and it's hilarious. Just for those of you who haven't watched it yet, I'll leave it at that. 713-780-ESPN is the number, 713-780-3776. And I'm sure we'll get to this, especially if RJ and those guys are on. I kind of like the Chiefs tonight. I think Broncos play really good defense, but I don't know that their offense is good enough to take advantage of the Chiefs the way the Colts and the Texans did. And I got to think if the Chiefs get a lead here, that they're going to be able to keep pouring it on. And I think this is a bounce back game for them. Andy Reid, great record against this team. I know it's a new coach, and they seem to be getting it together. But I kind of feel like in the market, the Chiefs have been downgraded more than they should be based on the last two games. So I do like the Chiefs tonight for what it's worth.
Yeah, it's going to end up being a stay away game for me. I mean, the number feels so trappy. I'll be honest. What I've seen of the Chiefs the last couple of weeks is really, really concerning. And the reality of it is they're just not healthy.
That's part of it.
They're ridiculously banged up. And I say all the time, Patrick Mahomes is, you know, without him, that team is really mediocre. And with him banged up, boy, it's hard for me to put money on them specifically. You know, when we've seen two examples of him being just kind of meh, and now he's going on the road. Yeah, I mean, he lost back-to-back home games. Now he's going on the road banged up on a short week. I just don't feel good about it.
I do, though, because, frankly, how much he was on the field for a minute in the fourth quarter against the Texans. Second half, he was barely on the field at all. So I don't know that that's so much on him. And I think they'll make some adjustments. I don't think the Broncos are good enough to do to them what the Colts and Texans did. So, somebody asked a legit question. What happens to a ball hit to left or right field with the wind going to straight center? you're going to have to move to get under it. It's like playing golf. Yeah. When there's a right to left
hooker, it'll slice.
Yeah, it's going to be a hooker, a slice. I don't know if that's a legit question.
It said legit question, so it had to be.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to say legit question if it's not a legit question.
Yeah, I guess that's true, but... Well, so I guess we're not going to have the interview?
No, no call yet? Okay.
Well, we tried.
We done our best.
We did. You know how I said I was not going to watch any sports last night? I was going to be totally...
You didn't watch the Southern Alabama Troy game I did?
I did not, but what I did do is after we watched 5 episodes, the wife decided she was going to sleep, and I was like, oh, do I watch the last 2? No, it's just going to piss her off more than she already is at me. So I start flipping around, and of course I watch some hockey, and then I look on NFL Network.
Quick note, mean is at 4:30. That's on me. I was wrong on that.
Oh, fail. But
my bad.
I flip over to NFL.
Listen, I've got a lot of interviews thrown my way. I've got to juggle here.
Yeah, well, that's what you're supposed to do. It's your job. Yeah, so I flip over to NFL Network, and there was about 30 minutes left of the Texans-Chiefs replay. So I watched that. So
really?
I didn't go sportsless.
Okay, well, good for you.
Yeah, I just wanted to see if I missed anything.
I've gotten to where now. I'm going to watch. I watch the All-22 anyway. So, like, watching the television broadcast multiple times doesn't help me anymore.
No, I agree. The only thing it helps me for the second time is, like, I try to pick out, like, one thing to watch. Like, okay, how did the offensive line play?
Yeah.
And focus specifically. It's things that aren't obvious. Like, receivers and running backs are pretty obvious. But, you know, how did the safeties play? But I always try to pick one thing that I sort of had an impression of during the game the first time to see if I was right or wrong. And sometimes I was wrong. Sometimes the guys played a lot better than I thought. Sometimes they played a lot worse. But, yeah, and this week I watched the offensive line again, and I think so much of it, as much as, you know, it's great that they didn't have any sacks, but so much has just been the fact that they're getting rid of the ball faster.
Well, and so much of it, I mean, what the Falcons are, what, 32nd in pass rush? Chiefs are 25th?
And the Chiefs were getting...
Certainly helps when you play teams like that don't have a pass rush.
Well, and the Chiefs were getting some pressure, but... Watson was getting rid of the ball so fast it didn't matter, so they didn't get to him. And I think it's one of those things where if he had held on to the ball like he did in the earlier games, they would have gotten to him. So they played well, but it wasn't, you know. I don't know that I'm ready to anoint them yet.
It's hard to tell because they've played 2 bad defenses in a row.
True.
And
they've done what they're supposed to do against them.
Yeah, and even though, I mean, the Chiefs aren't a bad team, they are a bad defense, and the Texans were able to take advantage of that. The Colts, I think the Colts are kind of underrated. I mean, to me, they're not great at anything. Well, they're great at running the football, but they're not great at, you know, defensively. There's not one particular thing that they're just like top tier in, but they're solid everywhere.
Yeah,
and they don't really go down the field a whole lot. That's the one thing that the Texans have going for them. It's strength on strength because... The Texans, they want a team that wants to run the ball, that doesn't want to throw downfield. We talked about that the last couple weeks. Texans don't want to have to match up somebody on Tyreek Hill or Julio Jones. That's worst case scenario. So if their strength is running the football and that's what their game plan is going to be to run the football, the Texans welcome that, I think.
I think they'll mix it up a little, though, because Frank Reich and his staff are pretty damn good at, you know, because they even changed their defense against the Chiefs. And... played a lot more man than they had been earlier. And I think they'll mix things up against the Texans because they'll look at where the weaknesses are. And I think they will try to attack downfield. The question is, can they? And I think the thing I like about the Colts is they usually go in with a really good game plan. Sometimes they're just not good enough to execute it. And sometimes they get in a hole like they did against the Raiders. But they usually know what they're doing out there in terms of coaching. And I think... that's why Sunday's game is really compelling to me. But I also think they did a blueprint against the Chiefs that the Texans followed to a T. But you run the ball. You run the ball, and then you open up your quick passes. You hit the tight ends. You take advantage of the fact that, you know, Honey Badger can tackle, but he's in coverage. You can take advantage of him. And they did the Colts did that, and then the Texans did it. And I think the Chiefs are also smart enough to realize, okay, this is what people are doing to us. We're going to fix some things. So I think they get it done tonight. And if they don't, Andy Reid's dead to me. Although the list of NFL teams that are dead to me right now is getting pretty long.
Yeah, I'm betting the college football games tonight.
Yeah,
so I don't have to. I don't have
to.
So
you won't be tempted.
Because I'm just. I really think that the line's about right, and I think that the Broncos are going to be able to run the ball essentially at will on this defense, which has not they've not been able to stop anyone. And the truth is, they haven't really played the, like the greatest schedule of run offenses, and they still are horrible. So, you know, and cause not to say that the Broncos are like an elite level running team, but the Broncos are a team that wants to run the ball, certainly. And that's what that plays right into the weakness of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, but I think the Chiefs will make some adjustments. And I,
the Chiefs can't adjust that. They haven't adjusted it in a year and a half.
Well,
they can't stop the run.
But the Broncos, that's the thing, though. I think you're underselling the Texans and the Colts compared to the Broncos. And I think that's why the line is three, is because you've seen these two games.
Are the Texans a significantly better running team than the Broncos?
They certainly, yeah, I think so.
I don't.
Well,
I mean, okay. The NFL, like the statistical rankings don't say that.
Well, they've also thrown the ball a lot more than they should have at times. They've only had one bad game running the football this year, and that was in San Diego. Every other game, they've run the ball well, even against the Panthers, who are pretty good defense. So, what's that? Did I say San Diego again? It's not my fault. Move back, bitches. I'm tired of having to say the wrong city because you moved. Nobody cares about you in L.A. But you want to get in on that action, or you want to get in on AJ's college action tonight? How about mybookie.ag? And, guys, I've been using mybookie now for a couple of years. It's the only website I use because I like the fact that if I win, I actually get paid. And nobody pays out faster. And the cool thing is they've got in-game. So if you want to get on the Astros tonight, maybe you missed the start of the game, you can still do it because I got all kinds of in-game wagers for you. And if you sign up today, they're going to double your first deposit, give you up to $1,000 in free money to wager on your favorite teams. And how about this? They've got all kinds of other sign-up offers too. So when you go and sign up, just use promo code radio. It's going to give you a bunch of options. Check it out. That's where you'll get your exclusive double your money offer. Mybookie.ag, promo code radio. And get in on the action. And if you've been on it for a while, they send you all kinds of offers all the time. They give you all kinds of opportunities to play and all different bonuses, as many as anybody. So go and check it out. They've got horse racing on there, which I use it for as well. It's mybookie.ag, promo code radio. Play, win, get paid, mybookie. You need a taste of your own
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Did you see this bit about the whistling in the dugout? And yes. What a joke. If you're getting upset about that, I think they're in their heads now, if they're really bitching about that. Plus, it was game one.
Yeah.
How did game one turn out?
Yankees win.
Okay.
The Yankees win.
But then the Astros were whistling signals during the game?
Mm, they should have done a better job.
Yeah, about to say, if they were, they kind of suck at it. So, it's amazing the stuff that people get their panties in a wad over. So, 713-780-3776 if you want to get in, or you could text the show, you know, all the ways to get in touch. Foster asks if Kyle Allen plays well and they beat the 49ers, should they go with Cam once he comes back?
They're almost going to have to if Cam's healthy. But, I mean, they've just got a lot invested in that guy. But it's I think they're definitely going to take their time with Cam getting healthy.
Well, yeah,
if that were to happen.
Honestly, if Cam Newton is healthy and playing like Cam Newton,
he's better than Kyle Allen.
He adds significantly more to that offense. The difference is Kyle Allen is not playing like a turd. He's not turning the ball over. Well, he did against the Texans, but for the most part, he's not turning the ball over. And Cam was just unable to move the offense. He couldn't play. He was hurt. So
if you've got a healthy Cam, you prefer to have him in. They just haven't had that for a while now. Going back to last year, even.
And these things tend to work themselves out. Remember a couple of weeks ago, everybody's talking about how, oh, when Nick Foles comes back, he won't have a job.
Yeah. Minshew mania is over now.
Yeah. Nick's going to have a job when he comes back, so it's all good.
What about Teddy Bridgewater?
You know what? Poor Teddy. Yeah, Ted. Well, no one has said. I mean, he's played okay at times, but nobody at any point has said,
okay,
oh, if Teddy's playing well, we can't bring Drew Brees back. I think everybody's like, man, just keep winning games until get Drew Brees back and everything will be good.
No Mina, huh? Okay. Now it's her fault.
Yeah, now it's on them, not you.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm going to blame them for both then, just because it's one of those things.
Hey, did you see we've got, if you want to go to Sebastian Bach?
I was looking at, that's the one I was interested in.
I knew you would be.
Yeah. The problem is that's man, I'm so freaking busy right now. I don't have time to go to anything that's not work. And it's going to be that way until after the World Series. I mean it's pretty much every day is you know, we've got so much going on with the website and with the show, and we're doing a lot of, you know, we're going to be traveling to London and everything else. It's just, it's kind of like, it's almost a hassle to go do something fun. And I know that sounds awful, but that's the truth. Speaking of which, there's a lot of good stuff on Sports Map today. I highly recommend Steven the Weather Guy's story, telling Astro fan to quit whining and embrace being the villain.
Yeah.
Because the Astros are villains now.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you win. And, It's stuff like this whistling thing becomes a story when it's not. Why? Would it be a story if it were the Orioles? No. You know why? Because they're already playing golf and have been for a month.
Yeah.
I mean, that's when you win, you've been in 3 straight ALCSs, people are going to hate you.
That's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And let's be honest, they were a cute story when they won the World Series because of Harvey and everything else, and it's the new team. But now you've been there 3 years in a row. You're the bad guys. You got a bunch of guys people don't like. So, okay, I see a check mark. Does that mean we have our guest?
I don't know if they've even picked.
Yeah, there we go.
All right.
Awesome. So joining us now is Mina Kimes, senior writer at ESPN. She's been all over the place, and you might have seen her on Around the Horn. And she's what we call a smart because she went to Yale. And she wrote that DeAndre Hopkins piece that's gotten a lot of attention. And, Mina, I appreciate you taking the time. Did you expect this kind of response from your piece on DeAndre and his mother?
No, not really. Honestly, I guess I knew that some people were familiar or knew aspects of DeAndre's story from Clemson in particular. But I think, you know, when I asked around and sort of, I've been working on this for a really long time. When I talk to folks, just kind of who are loosely familiar with the NFL, no one seemed to know it. So I had no idea how people might react to it when it came out.
How much time did you spend with them to because you got some great detail in there, man. I think one of the things that we've lost is really good long form journalism and compelling storytelling. And I think this has all of it.
Thank you so much. Yeah. I first met DeAndre in 2017. And then we did our first interview a year after that. So this has been quite a while in the making. You know, like most NFL players, he's free in the summers. And that was when I met his mother as well. And then finished it by going, to the Jags game. I believe it was week 2 with her because I wanted to see really what it was like for her to sit in the end zone as she does and experience an NFL game. I don't think, anyone can really understand what it's like to watch, to be at a football game and not be able to see what's happening and how she sort of comprehends what her son, the amazing things he does, which is something I really wanted to witness in person.
You know, the story of how DeAndre's mom becomes blind is really, I mean, it's almost like out of a movie or something. Like, you can't even believe that something like that's real. When you hear that story and you realize that a moment like that changes multiple people's lives forever, I mean, how hard to stay, yeah, you know, kind of even keeled as a journalist is that?
You know, for me, I think what really grabbed me was hearing DeAndre talk about it. His mom is one strong woman, and, you know, she has to be to overcomes everything she's done. You know, it's been 17 years now that she's been struggling with eyesight or completely blind. And when I interviewed him and talked about it, he holds it together pretty well. But we have a television version of the piece, so you can see this kind of when I asked about the moment where he hands his mother a ball when he scores a touchdown in the end zone where she's sitting, which is really an incredible thing to see, by the way. And I know it's going to change the way I watch Texans games. He teared up a little, and I don't think he was planning to. And I kind of got me a little bit too, because that moment is so powerful for both of them. And I think especially for, you know, for her not seeing the game, but sort of being able to touch it in that way is really powerful.
Yeah. One of the things I like so much about the piece is I think, especially sports fans, we kind of lose the fact that these are human beings with and a lot of them with amazing stories, and you really humanize the whole thing, and it does change your approach and what you think of a guy like DeAndre Hopkins when you read something like this.
Yeah, you guys know DeAndre, you're around him. He's a very quiet, kind of soft-spoken guy in some ways. He has really strong beliefs and opinions, but he's not really out there. I think especially like there's the stereotype of the wide receiver who's very loud and kind of an extrovert, and he's not that. And it's funny, right? I feel like he hasn't gotten credit from a football perspective until recently, in part because of the quarterbacks he played with, not in part, honestly, largely because of the quarterbacks he played with for most of his career, who was kind of outshined, I think, by some of his peers. And I think, but also that his personality played a part in that as well. He's not really the flashiest guy. So I think just getting a sense of who he is and why he is the way he is and the forces that shaped him will, you know, help fans give a better understanding of him.
You know, when you think about, you know, you mentioned the wide receiver thing, but there's a lot of guys in the league now, especially who they get in all kinds of trouble for different reasons. And you think, man, and I'm sure all of these guys have backstories too, but when you read this about Hopkins, you think, man, it's a wonder that this guy didn't turn out to be just bitter and angry and just end up being one of those bad guys. It's almost a miracle that he's not.
I think he and his family have overcome just tremendous odds to get where they are. And they're, you know, it is just kind of unfathomable. I mean, especially his mother, what she's overcome, and to see how joyful they are and how hopeful and how open they are, right? Because there's some stuff in this story that, you know, not everybody would want to talk about, not just the attack on his mother and the domestic violence she endured, but also what they had to do to survive. But they, as a family, believe that being transparent about it and talking about it could potentially help other people, and I think you got to respect that.
Mina Kimes has been our guest, senior writer at ESPN, and I tell you what, I know you're involved in a lot of stuff, but I hope you do some more projects like this, because this was just fantastic, and if you haven't had a chance to read it yet, it's on the ESPN website, it's on the magazine, it's everywhere, it's well worth your time. What's your next project? You got something else in mind now?
Yeah, well, we on Monday are launching a new podcast. You can subscribe now, called ESPN Daily. It's our first daily sports podcast at ESPN. It's just 20 minutes every day, a different sports story. It'll be a lot of stories like this, great narratives, investigations, also just writing about the biggest events, and we're going to use talent from across the company. It's really exciting, so give it a subscribe.
All right, sounds like fun. Bina, appreciate the time, and great job on the story.
Thank you so much.
All right. Bye. That's Mina Kimes, senior writer at ESPN. You can follow her on Twitter at Mina Kimes.
All right. And if you are working a job that you don't love or you're not making enough money, change it, man. Like Anna did. Anna was back in May working at Walmart, and she heard a commercial that changed her life. And I don't know for a fact that it was me, but it was probably me who changed Anna's life. You're welcome, Anna. With no IT experience at all, she enrolled at mycomputercareer.edu. 4 months later, guess what she did? She started her IT career, hired by a My Computer Career graduate. Don't be afraid of the future. Be a part of it. Go to mycomputercareer.edu. Take their free career evaluation today. You can start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months, even with no experience or training. You'll attend classes on campus or online just twice a week. You're going to get everything you need to start your new career. And it's more than a school. They help you get into the industry because they work with hundreds of employers that hire their students. Classes start soon. Go take the free career evaluation today. MyComputerCareer.edu. It's not rocket science. It's My Computer Career. MyComputerCareer.edu.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz, 713-780-3776. And just a quick follow-up to that, you know, as someone who used to be in the business of getting people to do stories like that, there's just not that many anymore that are really good. And when I say long-form journalism, people think that means, oh, it's a really long story. And I think one of the reasons Grantland failed is because they did long-form journalism that was just totally overwritten stories because guys could write long, so they did. And I think you still see a lot of that. You look at your newspaper sometimes, oh, here's a whole page. This must be a good story. And it's really not. It's just, hey, I've got to fill some inches. This one wasn't. This was a really well-done story that did not read like as long as it was. So if you get a chance, please check it out. I think you'll enjoy it. She did a really nice job with it and gives you a different perspective on athletes sometimes. All right, so a lot to get to today. We will have June Jones coming up at 5 o'clock. I'll be kind of curious to get his thoughts on the XFL draft. And yeah, and he's a guy who's been around everywhere. He's coaching the NFL. He's coached college football, coached in the CFL, and this is the first time, I think, that he's had a startup, so I'd be really interested to see what he thought of that and the process they're going through to build a team and how he thinks the XFL is going to do. So, Aaron, I did a nice thing for you guys. I put a bunch of beer in the fridge that's free to all of you.
So, I wouldn't have announced it to everybody, but I appreciate that.
No, it's free to everybody in the building. I because... You know, just my there's plenty of it there, and it's all for you guys. It's a thank you. So just let everybody know that they can have that beer.
Well, thank you for that.
Except for Cody. No Cody Stutes. I'm just kidding. Cody and Jake can have it too. Even all the SB Nation people.
So Jake can have half a beer and get drunk?
Well, yeah, that is true. I mean, I think a half of one, he should probably drink half, put it back in there, drink the other half the next day. Maybe even a quarter. Is he shorter than Palillo?
I think they're really close. I think he might be shorter.
Yeah, I kind of think he is. I think we need to have a measure off contest between those two. Because I honestly think Jake is shorter than Palillo.
Who's taller, Palillo or Kyler Murray?
Oh, Palillo. That's not even close. What, are you trying to get me blocked by Kyler Murray now?
I don't know.
Who I would never follow or tweet at anyway, so it doesn't matter. But yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see what
I didn't even tweet at him. Someone put his name on, like,
yeah.
Don't tag the athlete. It's so lame.
Well, like, that's Twitter tattletale.
Yeah. Twitter snitching.
Yeah. It's like, look what this guy said. Those are the worst.
But that said, I mean, it's not like I wouldn't say to his face that he's short because he's short.
Yeah.
I didn't think he'd block me for it.
Actually, I think he'd say it to the top of his head.
Well yeah. Played, sir. It's not his fault he's an Oompa Loompa. I mean, that's, you know, guy can play. He's just short. Yeah, that's like being blocked by Ben Roethlisberger when I've never tweeted at him or even followed him or anything. 713 asks, isn't that the dream for your team to be so good that people hate you? Well, kind of. I mean, the idea is to be good, and there's not many teams that win on a consistent basis that are beloved. Like, I think people love the Saints that year for a lot of the same reasons that they did the Astros after Harvey.
Yeah.
And I think that was a cool story.
But the Yankees after 9/11.
Yeah, definitely.
That was the one time that people didn't hate the Yankees as much.
You know what? I think Patriots after 9/11 was kind of the same thing. It's probably the one time people didn't hate them. You know, the one thing that came out of that, we didn't hate anybody for a while. That was kind of cool. But
except the Red Sox. Everybody still
hates
the
Red Sox. Well, yeah, Red Sox and the terrorists. But I do think I can't think of too many teams because even now people kind of hate the Saints because they've been good for a while. They've still only won the one Super Bowl. But, you know, they're not cute anymore. Like when the Cubs won, they're not cute anymore. Nobody likes the Cubs now.
No.
Except Cub fan. I think it would be hard to be good for a long stretch and have everybody love you.
Yeah, certainly.
I mean, that's just, it goes without saying, because people get sick of you.
I mean, how quickly did people turn on the Warriors?
You know, it might have taken a little longer.
It didn't feel like it.
Well, I think after a couple of years.
It felt like they didn't, like, people were already done with the Warriors before Kevin Durant got there.
Well, I think.
Once KD got there, it was like.
Well, that was the end of it, yeah. But I think they were still kind of a cute story up until they got overexposed. And then you start, nobody wants to see Steph's kid and its stupid mouthpiece. And then they got KD, and they definitely became villains. Because they were kind of a cool story about a team that they built.
I'll give you one team that had almost a sustained dynasty-level run, and I don't know that they were nationally hated. The Spurs.
Yeah, except...
I mean, Rockets fan hates Spurs.
Right,
fan. I mean,
right.
But I'm talking about nationally despised.
But you know what?
Despised.
But here's the other thing. They were also the most uninteresting team.
Oh, super vanilla.
And that's why, and I think people couldn't work up a hatred for them, just... That's why the ratings were always low when they were in the finals.
Yeah. Nobody hates vanilla ice cream. There's some people who are like, well, I'm not going to eat vanilla ice cream because I've got better options.
Yeah, cookies and cream.
You know, but nobody's like, oh, vanilla, the flavor is just disgusting. Nobody hates vanilla
I don't
ice
think
cream.
They were hated, but they damn sure weren't beloved either.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the thing. I think you can, like the Royals were a cute little story for their 1 year.
Oh, yeah. If you're a one-year jump-up-and-bite-everybody team, people will get on board with you, certainly. But, the whole, if you've had any kind of sustained success,
boy.
Honestly, I feel like whoever wins this ALCS, I think
everybody's
Joe
gonna
fan is going to be cheering for the Nationals.
Oh, I agree.
And the Nationals have had a good 10-year run of sustained success. It's just their first time getting to the World Series. I think people will cheer for that.
Plus, it's a cool story with the whole Bryce Harper thing.
Yep.
Yeah, I definitely think that the Nationals are going to be... That's who everybody's going to be rooting for outside of Houston or New York.
Yeah.
Hell, I'll be rooting for them if the Astros lose.
Hey, did you, this is NFL Research tweeted this out. Have you already punched a button on the Chiefs tonight?
I have.
Okay.
Why?
I won't tell you this then.
Oh, go ahead. You can talk me off it all you want. I'm already.
Oh, you're already in. Okay. Doesn't matter. NFL Research says, many would say Patrick Mahomes has no weaknesses, but if he does, it might be the bright lights. In 16 career daytime games, Mahomes is 15-1 with 8 interceptions. In 7 career primetime games, Mahomes is 2-5 with 6 interceptions.
That doesn't change my mind because I'll go with the 8-0 against the Broncos, 5-0 at Mile High in their last 5 games.
All right.
And Andy Reid's record against the AFC West is pretty salty. So. And that's kind of weird timing because that was his first loss in an afternoon game was last week.
That is.
Yeah. So I just
the Texans making history, Fred. Mm-hmm,
there you go. I'm telling you this
is a historically great Texans team. Is that what you're saying?
You've got to quit thinking of them as a mediocre team that loses at home to the Panthers because they're not that anymore. That was 3 weeks ago, AJ. Now they're the team that pees all over the Falcons.
Yeah,
a really good Falcons.
No, every team. That
a
does
team
that
was supposed to be a really good Falcon.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? The Falcons came back and almost beat the Cardinals last week.
Boy,
that was a good bounce back.
Eric and I were talking about our picks for Super Contest. I don't think I'm gonna talk him into it. He's staunchly against it. I think I like the Falcons this week against the Rams.
Spoiler alert, my Super Contest thing.
That's one of my Falcons.
Yeah.
I read some of the most alarming numbers on their offensive line. It is like, how much time do we have here, Aaron? Oh, okay. We got 20 seconds. I'll give you some eye-opening numbers about how bad the Rams offensive line is after the break.
After June Jones.
Oh, damn.
That's a double tease.
Double T's at some point.
Somebody says the 90s era Bulls are the only team not nationally loathed. Yes, they were.
Yes, they were.
Oh, yeah, people hated them.
Yes, they were.
Sorry. That just comes with being successful.
Yep.
You know what? I bet some people hate Lawyer Dave because all he does is win.
No matter what.
Yeah, he stomps on these other people.
Money on his mind, he can never get enough.
And that's why if you need a lawyer, you better call somebody who's going to win for you. Lawyer Dave, what's up, buddy?
Everybody put their hands up.
Hey,
and they
Blitzers.
Stay there.
Hey, Fred. Hey, AJ. How's everything going?
It's going great.
Nice. And I want to hear the teaser, too.
You'll have to stick around for a couple segments, Dave.
I can do that. Hey, Blitzers, if you're getting hurt in any kind of an accident anywhere, give me a call at 713-626-8900, and I'll do my best to help you out. And if it's some kind of an issue that I don't deal with, I'll send you to somebody that can help you. That's how we do it for the Blitzers.
Yeah, you've had a couple guys that have reached out that they've heard you on the show, and you don't handle what they needed, but you've got them in touch with somebody who did.
Exactly right. We always try to help the people because this job is a privilege, frankly. And if I can help somebody, I'm good to do it. Because, you know, there might be another day when they do have an accident somewhere. Like, say, they're working at this Crosby plant and it catches on fire and somebody gets burned up. And then they're going to think, hey, Lawyer Dave, help me out. I'm going to look at LawyerDave.com. I'm going to contact her. I'm going to call him or I'm going to Twitter Fred and say, hey, Fred, how do I get a hold of Lawyer Dave?
Yeah, and I always tell people, if you can't remember the number, 713-626-8900, or the Twitter, at Lawyer Dave Law, or LawyerDave.com, just tweet me, and I will put you in touch with Dave. And he doesn't charge for his consultations. He doesn't get paid unless you win. And if you need medical help because of it, what are you going to do?
Now, that's important, too. If you don't have any money and you need medical help, we'll get you to a doctor without any money out of your pocket. That's really valuable for folks because a lot of insurance policies don't want to help accident victims, car wreck victims especially. And so we get them to a doctor in their area. We got doctors all over the Houston area and other parts of Texas too, Beaumont especially. We'll get them to the people they need. They'll get the treatment they need. They'll get better, go back to work, live in their lives. And with any luck and a lot of hard work, we'll get them some money too.
All right, that's my man, Lawyer Dave. Give him the number one more time, Dave.
713-626-8900. Better dial Dave.
All right. It's my man, Dave.